I believe in myself. I know more than I have yet revealed. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. And a little side reminder, go into your internet every day and clean it up. If there are things in there that you don't recognize, delete them. If there are senders that you don't recognize, just delete them. Because that is the source of the spam and all that sort of stuff and the viruses that are coming through. And don't be curious. Don't be curious. Do you get lots of mail, junk mail, and do you open it at all? If you open it, you are really sick. You really need somebody to love you. But if you are self-confident, you know that all of these bank credit cards that are being sent out, they won't just want to get your business, you know, and they want to get you in trouble. It's bad enough you got any credit cards without having more than you need. So just throw them away. Cut them up, throw them away, shred them, and don't even look at them, and don't even look at that stuff. Oh, but there might be some interesting things to see. Don't even look at them. Now, what I do recommend, and this is my advice to you today, and I don't give advice, but this is my advice to you today. Shred your mail that is unsolicited, that you did not ask for. Just delete any of your email that comes through from any source that you don't recognize. And take all the time that you would have given to reading it and looking at it and checking it, which is a good 2 or 3 hours every day. And take those 2 or 3 hours and listen to the divine within. I believe in myself. I know more than I have yet revealed. And you're not going to reveal a lot if you're going to spend all your time on your internet and on the email. Oh, but it's so fascinating. But go where you want to go. Go where you want to go. Don't go where they want to send you. And they will have all pop-ups trying to get your attention. And, you know, it's a good illustration. It's a good illustration. Life is always giving you all sorts of things that are trying to catch your attention. I don't know whether I spoke it on the internet here, but Heinz and I were talking as we were sitting there as going for a walk around the path the morning yesterday, wasn't it, yesterday morning? And I said to Heinz, now, this is very important what we're talking about, and that's really nice. Now, Heinz, like that, an airplane just crashed. And you could see the fire over there and the screaming, ah! And I said, Heinz, is that any of your business? Do you know how to help those people? Or would you just be in the way? Do you think that they're good? Now, Heinz, what are you mentally creating in your mind about that? Are you seeing the plane crashed and killing the pilot and all the passengers? Are you seeing the plane crashed and the pilot jumped out with his parachute and there were no passengers? Are you seeing the plane crashed and everything is in divine order? What are you seeing? You know, we have this right to see it. We have this right to make any scenario we want because we have no other facts, just the facts of our imagination. And so, hey, that's cool. And what did we decide? We don't pay any attention to it at all. That's none of our business. We created it as an illusion to distract us from what we were doing. Heinz and I were having a very good talk about philosophy, coming up with all sorts of beautiful ideas. I was showing him the path as I walk it each morning so he can make his choice of how he wants to walk it. And we discussed many wonderful things. And as we talked about these things, I was giving him distractions, as many as I could think of as from time to time, and stay somewhat close to our subject. And he was distracted because he was accustomed to being distracted. He was accustomed to thinking, well, now I'm working with my employees. I've got to be aware of them. I've got to be on top of them. I've got to be before them with any thought they want to come up with. And I've got to be aware of the cars on the road as I'm driving down the road. And I've got to be aware of this and aware of that. And what is the statement? You don't got to be aware of nothing. You be aware of your divine inner self. And then you create around yourself employees that do the right thing. Perfect. You don't have to guide them and sit on them and beg them to do the job. They work perfectly. That's what you create. And you create, Ellen, the road.
We didn't open. No, my ways are peaceful.
Boy, is that a bunch of talking with soup in your mouth. She says something, here, let me just put it. I believe in myself. I know more than I have yet revealed. So, Ellen, what is the statement that you're going to make?
In relationship to what?
The highway.
My path is free and open, and all my ways are pleasantness.
My path is free and open, and all my ways are pleasantness. Now, how are your ways? Are your ways, oh, it's so busy, this is a rush hour, there's so much traffic on the road, and things like that. Heinz lives down in New Zealand. New Zealand. They don't even have cars yet, you know. And he walks back and forth to his office. And it's a big, long walk. The office is in the backyard of the house, you know. And so he's got all that traffic of all of his 14, 16, 18 employees that are going back and forth, you know, using the restrooms and stuff like that before they get started to work. And you see, if Heinz were really a fabulous being who recognized how fabulous he is, he would say, all of my employees go to the bathroom before they come to work. That's interesting, huh? All of my employees come to work with a smile on their face. All of my employees have a happy, happy home life. Sounds good, doesn't it? All of my employees are volunteers. And they give their best. They work harder than any paid employee I have ever had. Interesting concept, huh? So, you see, create your own world. We say here, I believe in myself. I know more than I have yet revealed. You haven't even begun to take the possibilities of who you are and what you are and where you're going and how you're doing things, have you? Mm-hmm. You haven't even begun. Now, when are you going to begin to do it? Now. And how do you begin to do it? By not allowing yourself to be distracted by crashing airplanes or thundering clouds. We had a telephone call yesterday from somebody in the city, and they said, did you know there's a big black cloud hanging up over Campbell? Remember somebody said that? And I stopped listening at that moment because I'm not interested in anything like that. And we could have created a big black cloud hanging over Campbell, and we could have created the flash floods, and we could have created rain, but did you?
No.
Why didn't you? You're not very cooperative, Sylvia.
I know.
You're not very cooperative. Somebody tried to distract her and take her attention away from what she felt was our highest and best, and she didn't let it touch her at all. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that?
Of course.
And have you ever done that?
Always do it.
Always do that. That's beautiful. But you see, this is your choice. Now, why didn't we have the flash floods up here? And why didn't we have this big black cloud just drop a load of the ocean on us in one fell swoop? Why not? It wasn't our choice. I don't choose to listen to things like that. I don't choose to partake of things like that. I don't choose to be part of it in any way. And that's all of our choice. Whatever we want to listen to and believe, we have. I went in to see Cielo Arriaga, one of our students, who is having a little internal mending done at the hospital. And they're doing a good job. Well, Cielo is a fabulous lady. She has always been able to speak and speak long and loud and well on anything she wanted to speak. She's always been able to carry her body around with the dignity of a Puerto Rican lawyer and judge, which she had been, you know, and all the other things that she had been. And she has always done this, always with such majesty. And there she is laying in bed in the hospital. I went to see her. And I said, "Well, see, Yellow, how in the world are you?" I didn't say, "How in the hell are you?" But, "How in the world are you? How in..." Yes. And she looked at me and she says, "I am whole." And her associate, who has been with her for 25 years, said, "Whole and perfect. Whole and perfect. She's whole and perfect. She's whole and perfect." And a big smile broke out all over her face. And all the tubes and stuff that she was playing with disappeared. They just disappeared behind that wonderful, fabulous smile. And by the time I left there, the doctor was listening to us talk. And we spent 2 hours on metaphysics, 2 hours on thinking positive thoughts. And her associate, who hadn't taken the courses yet, she is signing up now for the course herself. And Cielo, she had a terrible time. Terrible. She's just a terrible person. She is a genius. She is a master. And she is God. Okay? Those all key? So what does she create? She creates two daughters who are also geniuses. They go to their universities, top flight universities, naturally, and they take the courses, and they're AA students, you know, top of their class, graduates. And that doesn't end there. And then they have kids. Her daughters have kids. Can you imagine that? Her daughters have kids, and her daughters' kids are AA students. Triple A, right at the top of the line. They don't know. The boy is 13 and he's pretending he's not doing too well in school. But that's just part of the rebel stage that he chooses to go through. Einstein was a rebel in school too, remember? Yeah. Edison was a rebel in school too. A lot of these other genes, you just need to motivate them. And when they find that kid's motivation, bang, he'll take off like a rocket, like Mark. Mark didn't do too well in school, but the moment he found flying and designing airplanes, he's now the best in the country. And he didn't plan to be the best in the country. He just always knew he was. And you see, this is the art. This is the art of living your life, that you believe in yourself. But first you have to find out what it is that you believe in yourself. And when you can say, "I believe in myself 100%. Ellen, I am going to tell you right now the key to having the most happy, harmonious family relationships in the world, so that you can apply this to your own life and apply it to the lives of all your students and all your friends. Now, I'm going to tell you that. Now, because I must work this as a scenario, I am going to say, "Heinz, when are you going to take your boat out for a sail again? What kind of a boat do you have? What kind of sail do you have?" Ellen, what are you saying? Ellen, what are you saying? You're saying, "Herb, you were telling me the secret. You were telling me the key." "Heinz, it sounds like your boat would be a lot of fun. Do you take other people with you when you go out, or do you usually go alone?" Ellen says, "Herb, you're telling me this key. I'm waiting for this key." Well, if Ellen were a master, she would not create me talking to Heinz about something seemingly unimportant compared to her learning about the key, right? Mm-hmm. But if Ellen is not the master, and she lets you or me or anybody distract her, she's a fool. And we all are fools from time to time. We allow things to distract us. We want to train ourselves under all circumstances to be undisturbed. Now, Ellen is another thing. She is a pilot. And there is a statement in the flying fraternity, of which I'm a member too, and it says, "The pilot makes all decisions. The pilot is the one in control." So Ellen is about to land the airplane. And I say, "Ellen, here, listen to this new jazz song, or listen to this new classic that's here that I got." Ellen says, "Please, I'm preparing to land the airplane." "Ellen, here we have this here that you've been asking about for so long, and here this information is, I'm going to land the airplane." Ellen, here's this here, here's that, here's that. But hey, look, I'm about to land the airplane. Now, what should Ellen be saying? What should Ellen be saying to herself or to anybody else? Nothing. She should not even know that I exist asking her these unimportant questions at that moment. You understand? She should not even know that there's anybody else on that plane except her sitting there at the helm, bringing that plane in harmoniously and joyously. Makes it sound like it's some great big deal. Well, it's a big deal only insofar as Ellen doesn't take control. When Ellen takes control, it's nothing. It's just a natural activity, landing a piece of silk, piece of cake, you know? And she does not have to be disturbed by somebody who wants to disturb her. We do not have to be disturbed by someone who wants to disturb us. We haven't even begun to reveal the magnificence that we are. I've told you this story too often, and I get a kick out of it. That's why I tell it so often. Mama says, "Okay, Papa, take care of the kids. I'm going to the store." And Papa says, "Sure, sir." And he's sitting in front of the television set watching the ball game. And he is just so infatuated with that ball game, he has nothing else in his mind. And the kids come, "Pop, can I have a Coke? Pop, can I have this?" "Yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, sure, go ahead." And then the intermission comes. I think they do have intermissions in ball games. And the intermission comes, and he gets up and he goes to the refrigerator, gets out a couple more beers, and gets out popcorn, and gets out Cracker Jack, and whatever other things there. And then he takes them back to the living room. And he lifts up his feet unconsciously over the kids, over the junk, over the toys, and he gets back to his chair, you know, his little island. And the game starts. "Hand that to him." And he's into that. Mama comes home a little while later. And she says, "What has been going on here?" And he says, "Oh, well, why? What do you mean?" "Oh, the house looks like it's a hurricane went through here." "Oh, yeah, look. Food bags, toys, everything. And kids sleeping here and there, you know. And what have you." And he says, "Oh." And she says, "Well, what were you doing?" "Well, just sitting here, watching the television, taking care of the kids." "Well, you were taking care of the kids, man, oh man. You didn't even know they were here. You didn't even know that they were screaming and running through the house and being all up, having just a ball, having a good time. You didn't even know it. And look at, they're all worn out. They're all laying all over the floor, sound asleep. Happy as can be." Now, his concentration on so unimportant a thing as a sports game. Of course, who's going to say a sports game is unimportant? But, and so unnecessary a thing. If you don't hear it, you don't hear it. If you hear it, you hear it. It's not going to make your life or break it. But he concentrated on the game. He did not hear the children doing these things. He was not distracted. And for him, he lived in the paradise of the game that he saw. And the children, they didn't do anything wrong. They were just being themselves and having fun, unguided, undirected. And so it made a problem. So the next time that Mother goes to the store and there's a sport game on TV, Mother says to the oldest child, "You are in charge. You are in charge. Don't ask your father. You just know what's right to do and you're in charge." "Well, what do you mean I shouldn't ask Papa?" "He's busy watching the television. But he can certainly answer me." He will always say yes, because that's the least confronting comment that he can make. He always says, go ahead, you know, enjoy yourself. And this is what we should say to any distraction that comes up. "Yeah, go ahead, you know, do whatever you want to do. I'm untouched by that." It's something we have to train ourselves in. Well, we believe in ourselves to a degree, but we want to believe in ourselves more than just to a degree. "I know more than I have yet revealed." And that knowing more than we have yet revealed, that's the fun stuff. That's the fun stuff. But that can only be done when we are one-pointed, when we keep our mind on whatever we're doing, and we don't allow ourselves to be distracted and pulled away from the game. Now, Ellen was here at the table, and Ellen got up from the table, and she went away. And while she was here at the table, we told her we were going to tell her the secret key to accomplishing perfect, harmonious family relationships. Now, she's left just at the point where I'm going to tell her about perfect, harmonious family relationships. Now, what has she gone to do? Has she gone to go to the bathroom? Has she gone to, I can't imagine what else she would do, but has she gone to do something else? Apparently. Apparently, hearing the key to perfect family relationships is not important to her. That would keep her riveted. When is he going to say it? When is he going to say this? Or when is he going to give us the key? And she'll never know the key. Now, what about you? Will you know the key? Can you stick in there? Are you dedicated to following the truth within yourself? Or are you always going to be looking outward for the answer? Well, now, perhaps Ellen went away to look inward for the answer. When she comes back, we'll ask her. But why would anyone ever leave when the secret that they're most profoundly interested in at this moment is about to be revealed? You follow me? It's so easy. It's so easy to have something distract us. It's so easy to have something take our attention and make us say, oh, there's a plane that crashed in the field. We got to go over and see what's going on. Why? Why? That's not your responsibility. It's not your job. That's not your benefit. And when you get over there, you just be another body in the way of whoever is doing whatever they're doing. What is your job?
See in divine order.
To see everything in your world in divine order. And if that is in your world because it's in your attention, see it in divine order. See it in divine order. Let it alone. Let it alone. But that's not easy to do, because we have always been taught that we have one thing that our nose is on the front of our face for, and that's to put it in everybody else's business. To take our nose and be aware of everything that's going on. Instead of saying that our nose is designed to quaff the beautiful fragrances of life, to be aware of the bouquet of wine, the bouquet of love, the bouquet of joy and peace. You see, when we put the right perspective on anything, the right response comes. So, believe in yourself. I believe in myself. And I know more than I have yet revealed. And I'm always ready to reveal the more that I've yet to reveal. And the more that I've yet to reveal is the moment when I say, I am God, being God. Not saying, you're God too, because I need to have a little protection and strength so that the world doesn't think that I am the God, the one God, the only God, which of course you are. You see, we're afraid of that. Our Nigerian friends are not afraid of that. They just come right out and big and bold on the placards that they hang and carry around, the Guyanians, telling, I am God, God I am. And then they put other names with it, which is ours, as God Unlimited, University of Healing, and Science of Mind, and Unity, and other new thought functions. I mean, wow. What's going to happen in that country? What is happening? Magic. What's happening in our life when we recognize who we are and don't have to say, but everybody is God, but all is God, but you know, everything, which is how we describe God in the beginning. When we can stop saying that and just know it and be it, wow, do we have wonderful things happening to us. I believe in myself. I know more than I have yet revealed. And it's an exciting moment and exciting activity. So, I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a wonderful day.